So if you would turn to page 130 in your liturgy book where the epistle reading was at. So this happens to be the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, the second Sunday of the Triodion period in preparation for Lent, as we all know. And the story of the gospel reading, as you just heard, relates how the young man left home and he lived a sinful life and he spent his inheritance in loose living, etc. And so this lesson from the epistle was chosen because Paul is talking about immoral living and whatever. So the fathers paired the gospel reading with this epistle reading because they're relevant. So what the gospel is saying, how the Lord is merciful, you know, to us about our sins. St. Paul is telling us don't sin and what the ramification, you know, how bad it is to sin. So there is a context in the letter to the first letter to the Corinthians of why St. Paul addressed this issue in the way he did. But we really don't, you can read that in the Orthodox Study Bible. It doesn't really affect the lesson that we can learn from it. Okay, it doesn't, we don't need to go into it in our limited time that we have here. So I want to draw your attention to some translation issues. The first line says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. In Greek, it's a little bit simpler. It says, panda mi existi. So basically, you could say, I can do anything. You know, I mean, I don't have shackles on. I can do anything. I really am allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for me, St. Paul is saying. So you can do anything. No one's stopping you from doing it. But not everything is good for you. So that all things are lawful really doesn't make sense. That choice of the word lawful probably doesn't really make sense here because he's going to talk about sins. And sins are not lawful. He's going to say, you can do sins. No one is stopping you from doing sins, but they're not beneficial for you, okay? So that one little translation thing. Another translation issue where he says, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both. First of all, he didn't say food is meant for the palate. He said food is meant for the stomach, for our nutrition. But anyway, the translation issue is where God will destroy both. The Greek word is ketaftin ketafta katargisi o Theos, katargo. Katargo doesn't necessarily mean destroy. It means to terminate, to neutralize, to make useless, okay? Because I'm going to destroy. I mean, our bodies will be resurrected. I guess that's all our organs. I mean, after the resurrection, the Lord ate food, right? Not that he needed it, but he ate it. So here, the choice of destroy, probably too strong. Probably more like neutralize, another translation issue is that says the body is not meant for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So the Greek word for immorality here is the word pornia, and if you know, porni is prostitute. Pornia means a little bit stronger than just immorality, because there's all kinds of immorality. It means specifically sexual immorality, fornication, an older word, sexual sins, sex outside the context of marriage. And another translation issue where he says, shun immorality. Probably shun isn't a strong enough word. The Greek word is fevjete din pornia. Okay? Fevro means to run away, to leave, to depart. So the New King James Version, the Orthodox Study Bible, actually has the word flee. Flee from immorality. So not just avoid, but like turn the other way and go the other way. So now some points. It's pretty self-explanatory, and given these little corrections that I've made, the lesson is pretty self-explanatory. Each Christian, however, is a member, like an arm, a leg, a foot, okay, a member of the body of Christ in a kind of real, symbolic, but real sort of way, okay? And we are joined to the body of Christ through baptism and certainly through Holy Communion in the body and blood of Christ. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? It's not the wine and the bread of Christ and we share in his food. It's the body and blood of Christ and we become members of his body. So that's why there's like, you know, what can you join with the body of Christ? What do you want? I mean, we're all members now of each other. And so the church has things like marriage, blessing, to bless specific two people to come together. And that's okay. Okay, they become one in the body of Christ in, you know, the way that God wants it. But it's not good and not right to do that with people that God has not blessed, that the church has not blessed to do that. There's a whole lesson on the marriage and the sex thing that probably doesn't need to be taught here in public. But sins outside the body, where he talks about, you know, if you sin with your body, I mean, you're sinning. Every other sin is outside the body, he says, but sins of immorality, you know, are with the body. So when you are angry, or you are jealous, or you, you know, are lustful, or whatever, those things are kind of happening to you, you know. Those are called passions, right? But when you do something, you know, when you enact an immoral sin, then you are actually acting it and doing it with your body. And so this is now a sin of the body. And since our body is a member of the body of Christ, it raises some questions now. And we're not going to answer them right here, but things to think about. Is it possible for one to be rejected or cut off from the body of Christ? I mean, can the body of Christ stand to have anything impure and sinful about it? I mean, the God, you know. And is this perhaps why there is repentance, confession, and absolution, and Holy Communion, and all these things to cleanse ourselves so that, you know, as far as possible, so that we can be worthy, counted worthy of taking communion. So now some of these prayers before Holy Communion and that canon before Holy Communion, make me worthy, purify me, this and that and the other, so that, you know, I can become a member, you know, of the body of Christ. Things to think about, and maybe we'll be treated, you know, in another lesson. And he says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So, earlier in the third chapter of this same epistle, same, it's not in this lesson, but since he spoke about temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, the word destroy probably could have been another word. The Greek word is phthiti. You know, whoever, opios phthiri to nao tu theou, okay? Phthiro means ruin, damage, perhaps defile. And it says, whoever does that to the temple of God, God will do that same thing to the person. So not necessarily destroy, because destroy, you know, you might think, you know, okay, well, I did that, he'll destroy me, I will be, you know, out of existence, you know. But no, it's really going to be, you damage the temple, he's going to damage you. Manner of speaking, whatever that means. But it's a hard threat. It's a hard warning to take, you know. And it raises questions aside from, obviously, the immoral sins, you know, what are we allowed now since we've been purchased? So we're not ourselves. We belong to Christ. Our bodies do. What can we do and what can't we do to our bodies? For example, sorry, ladies and men, but, you know, is piercing something or tattoos or something, you know, is that something that we can just do to our bodies without permission? I mean, it's not our body, right? He says it's not your body anymore. He says your body belongs to God. So, I mean, maybe we should ask. And I really don't know what the answer would be. I don't know if there might be canons that deal with that. But something to think about for the moving forward. You know, what we do with our body, if we consider ourselves members of the body of Christ, what we do with it. And then he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And how can we glorify God with our body? By practicing self-restraint, charity, fasting, vigilance, and any bodily labors that we do for the sake of virtue. We glorify God in our body that way. And we glorify God in our spirit by having correct faith, by having hope in God, by having love for God and for our neighbor, by purging any wicked thoughts that we might have, and by meditating on holy ideas and concepts. So let's stand and pray.